you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
This is The Thing About Cars, a podcast for car enthusiasts and the people who love them.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Thing About Cars. There are three of us around the table today, three superheroes. One is Dawn Randolph. Dawn, how are you?
I definitely am Wonder Woman.
And Dave. Dave, how are you, sir?
I don't know. Is there a superhero like Al Dente Man? Maybe only just half baked?
Yeah. Partially cooked.
A little chewy.
A little chewy?
That would be my status today. I'm a little chewy.
And you put the tomato stuff on and you get saucy.
And I'm Mickey Desai. As always, it's just the three of us today, so it's a special crew. We have to mildly roast Ben and Misty. What do you suppose Misty's superhero superpower is going to end up being?
Oh, wow. Oh. Based on Misty's Facebook feed, uncomfortable truth woman.
Awkward truth.
Yeah, her motto is, you may not want to hear this, but
that's good. I think that's a really good superpower.
And what would, excellent.
Yeah. What would Ben's superpower be?
Well, apparently it's not electrical systems in the Lotus.
Yeah, no, and we should probably talk about that in his absence. Apparently he was driving the Lotus around this morning and had complete and total engine failure due to an electrical problem, which he may still be waiting on the tow truck as we speak, so there's no telling.
Yeah. And then he had to push the Lotus and downhill and he fell and skinned his knees.
Yes.
Fortunately, he didn't lose control of the Lotus as he was pushing it downhill.
Thankfully,
the Lotus came out unscathed. Thank God. That's the most important thing. He will heal.
Exactly. So I hope he gets all that sorted. I'm going to grind my gears. So I'm going to do a quick grind my gears.
We're free-forming it
today. In fact, let's not even do a trivia. We'll make up trivia as we go through. It's a trivia question. You start grinding your gears, and Dawn and I are just going to make up random shit through the rest of the show.
I love it.
Sounds great. It's a random shit kind of day. I love that.
All right. So I've got a couple small things here we might harp on for a minute. But one thing that always gets me is when I'm reading a car magazine or going through a car blog and they feature pictures of a hidden car or a secret car that's in development, and you actually see pictures of it in car camouflage, which is supposed to prevent it from being photographed or being identified or whatever. And yet you're totally aware of what it is. And my snarky comment whenever I see one, which is, this thing is being hidden by Detroit, I'm like, oh, look, a car. You know, it's like, it's not changing the fact that it's a Mustang. I can tell that's a Mustang, or I can tell that it's a whatever it is. And it just happens to have this weird paint job on it, which isn't really, anyway, car camouflage photos kind of grind my gear because they're not really camouflaging.
It would be a lot more impressive if they would camouflage them as like livestock. I don't know they got that effort up to 280, but they did.
I'm sure we've all said that before.
I'm kind of stunned here. I don't know what to say.
But I mean, really, you know, can make it look like a UFO or something.
Is that a car? Because the camouflage makes it look uncannily like Angelina Jolie.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the Bronco stuff was in development for the longest time, and it's a huge hit for Ford, and I'm happy that they're seeing success in it, but for the longest time, whenever they posted a spy photo of the Bronco, every single time I'm like, oh, look, a Bronco.
Not a horse.
It's not a horse. And it's
they could have done that. They could have had a horse, you know?
That's right.
I mean, that would have been interesting.
That would have been interesting.
Said, oh, look, a Bronco.
Yeah. I'm just like, you know, why go through all the effort of trying to car camouflage anything these days? If it's a development, it's nothing's that big a secret anymore. And we've also reached a point where most SUVs in particular are starting to just look alike. So why bother? All right. So the other thing that grinds my gears is sort of a safety thing. And it's people who drive around in the rain with either no lights or their high beams are on. and both are equally bad. And that just grinds my gears. I'm like, turn on your lights in the rain and turn off the high beams in the rain, because that's a good way to blind yourself and everybody else. And,
you know, actually, yeah, we've never talked about this, the change out too. Is it the halogen lights that are the really bright, intense lights?
No. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that the halogen lights are the older technology, and everything now is going towards LEDs.
LEDs. Yep. Okay.
Yep. LEDs. Yeah.
Because those halogens are annoying. They just don't look, I don't know. They don't look car-ish to me. They look garish to me. They're just not attractive. Well,
you know, that's an interesting one also, because I have wondered, you know, the move to LED means you don't have to have a round bulb anymore. So, you know, that you've got ring headlights and you've got angled headlights, and let's say you're talking about somebody driving in the rain and someone comes up behind you. You know, we're naturally programmed to look for round beams of light. And now all of a sudden you've got something coming up behind you that looks like, maybe it's like, you know, headlights written in Arabic. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Or taillights. I mean, it's almost like there. I saw a taillight that did the little graduation where they went. It's like started at the beginning and kind of, you know.
See, now I think that looks cool. I think that
looks cool, but you don't know that it's actually their official taillight.
Or is it their turn signal? Well, or, you know, yeah.
Right. I mean, you don't know. You're used to seeing it come on in red. You know they're stopping. But all of a sudden you see these other things and you're like, are they stopping?
Are they automotive Vegas showgirl?
Exactly. it's just that your mindset, those of us of a certain generation, you know, you're looking for the big round guys.
Get off of Don's lawn.
There. Right. Right. Oh, okay. That really grinds my gears.
Right. Well, LEDs being what they are, you know, what I miss about LEDs, or what I miss about halogens rather, is that with a bulb and the right reflective surfaces, you could actually shape the light and throw it the right way and do cool things with it. And with the new technology, it seems that no one's trying to do that. No one's trying to conform the light to specific patterns. And instead, what I'm hearing about is they're developing technology so that the LEDs lights can be pointed via computer to avoid certain things, so that you can still have extremely bright lights on the front of your car, but now a computer is going to say, oh, don't blind that driver, or don't illuminate the rain, just illuminate the road, which apparently they can do. And things like that.
Interestingly, so, in the 70s, there was a inventor who invented high beams that could sense oncoming cars and would automatically go to low beams and then pop back up to high beams. So you wouldn't have to, and could not get any of the car companies in Detroit to buy it, because it was like, it was going to add like $15 to the headlight system per car. And it like threw their whole cost model off. So,
you know, the one thing that's really kind of fascinating about, as I think about it, high beams are, I don't use mine very much because I forget that they're on the steering wheel. I remember that I always had the ones that you pushed on the floor. So, there was a little button and you stepped on it.
Are you sure you want to be admitting this to us, Don?
I do. I'm pretty proud of this, that I know this. And I just always forget those high beams because you have to do it with your hand and there's nothing on the floor. And it is what it is.
There are so many different snarky comments trying to get out of my head. I actually have given myself a sinus headache because they've all locked up in my basal pod.
Well, don't hold them in, Dave. Let them out.
I may be having a stroke.
No, don't do that.
Let's hope that's not
the
case.
We can't have another man down. We really can't. It'll just be me and Mickey. So.
Which is fine. You know, I think we're great together, but it would be bad if we missed Dave.
So Mickey and Don talk about cars.
That's right. That's right. So yes, thank you for listening to me grind my gears. And if it is raining, please remember to turn on your lights and avoid your high beams if you can't help it in the rain. It's just a safety thing, people. That's all it is. And I care for our listeners. I really do. People don't know this, but I want people to be safe and healthy out there.
But. Because if they're safe and healthy, then I'm safe and healthy.
Exactly.
And Mickey does care for the listeners in a rather weird and unhealthy way if they're nuns.
If they're nuns, it's a special love. It's a special kind of respect. Yeah,
word you're struggling for is fetish.
I don't have a real nun fetish, but all right, maybe. Maybe if you're Sally Fields in a... In a what was the name of that? Wasn't Sally Fields?
It was my Flying Sally Nun, Fields, was it? Flying Nun. Yes,
it was Sally Fields.
Yeah.
So, I can't remember any of that.
The whole
stuff.
Reason
Goodness.
I failed my controls theory class in college is because my brain is polluted with this useless knowledge. The place I was trying to put Bernoulli's theorem in gas dynamics was already occupied by the fact that Sally Field played Sister Betrill and Bert Lahr played the Cowardly Lion.
I feel you there. I've got so much stuff in my brain right now that in order to get anything new in, I have to push some old stuff out. That's what it feels like. But so the Olympics are happening. And you guys are into it way more than I am, mostly because I'm kind of, I was admitting this to Dave and Don before, I'm kind of jaded on the Olympics for a couple of other socioeconomic, political kinds of reasons. But, you know, for the pomp and circumstance and the sheer athleticism of things, it is kind of fun. I do watch them, but not with any intent, right? Like, I don't need Team USA to win everything. I'm not so invested in it that I have to watch or follow the Olympics at all. But I'll tune them in just to see good sports happening, right? And that's what I do. But I mean, so, Dawn, what's the tie-in here? What's the tie-in between the Olympics and the thing about cars?
Well, you know, when I was watching last night, there were some interesting advertisements by Toyota, and they were really fascinating. One was a young teenage boy who had, it looks like he had broken an ankle or a leg or something. He was in the hospital, and all of a sudden you see him on like the mirror thing, like the mirror on wheels, like a big screen person height coming down the hallway in school to ask out a young teenage girl. And it was the cutest thing, but it was driven by Toyota. And then you see a car with a bunch of people in it. And first of all, my brain was saying, oh, Japan drives on the left, right? Left, right? Yeah, it's on the left. So the wheel was on the right side, and that my brain got, you know, okay. And it was a very cool kind of looking car. Think of like the updated Beetle type of car, except they switched to driverless mode and they start dancing and everybody's, you know, waving their hands. And then the car parks for them to go into some event for the Olympics. And they say something to the car and the car winks at them. Like so when we were talking about LEDs, the array on the front of the car looked like a person's face and the little car's lights actually winked at them.
Which is, of course, just CGI, right? Special effects.
I'm sure it was CGI, yeah. But it just got my brain into this whole car persona of, you know, we've talked about driverless cars. We've talked about where the world is going but man, what if your car becomes like your little AI chauffeur buddy, pet yep. thingy?
Tamagotchi? I mean, Tamagotchi?
Yeah, what if your car is your little Tamagotchi and then you can never get rid of it? It's part of the family. I mean, all these ideas, besides, like I said, once I righted myself to the left side of the road, I was just like, oh my gosh, I hadn't thought about all of these other, like the other day I took old Apple equipment to get recycled, an old Mac Air, my first iMac and my first iPad. And I felt so like, oh, I'm letting it go. Even though all the stuff was wiped off of it, like I'm letting it go. Now what happens with your car?
Well,
so I'm just kind of freaking out. The whole Toyota commercial was very clever, but also just raised a ton of interest.
You've heard, though, I mean, there's a serious element to this, but I'm going to go funny first, which is, you know, it's like a pet, sure, but pets die or you have to euthanize them. And you've seen a car crusher at work, right? It's just, you know, it's just, it is what it is, Don. Everything, every
do everything.
What's that?
Turn.
Yes, but here's the deal. If we get to nanotechnology.
Yes.
And so what if a car gets crunched or hurt? And now it's electric. So it's not going to be, you know, all of the problems that come with that length of having a car. It's like, what if the car has nanotechnology and it fixes all the little things that go wrong with it by itself?
Yeah, that would be cool. On the other hand,
it doesn't want to leave you.
Suddenly I'm thinking of the movie.
You say, I'm done with you, car, you must go. And it kind of like, it goes and bye.
I'm thinking of the movie Christine, right? I mean, it may not be sad and pitiful. The car may go out and try to blaze of glory and, you know, take out
and then again, the car may then stalk you.
Right.
I sold you to Mrs. McGillicuddy. Why are you here?
Go home.
You don't live here anymore.
Go home, you damn car. I don't know. I just, all these, like, really strange things. But then again, let's go back to the young kid who's asking a girl out. Like, why couldn't he wait till he got out of the hospital? Was he worried that someone else was going to ask her out first? Couldn't they get out? Couldn't they text each other? Why wasn't he on his phone? I mean,
let's be realistic here, right? I mean, Toyota doesn't. Relationships are that critical, right?
But they are. What do you?
Well,
think?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to come back to the car first, and then we'll talk about the practicality of the kids second. So the car, in particular, in the commercial last night, was the Toyota Concept I. And, you know, the Concept I has been around since like 2017. And what they're showing last night, I think, was like a 2020 version. They've never actually come out with it. Now, I've got this love/indifference relationship with Toyota. When I was in high school and college, boy, the car I wanted was the Toyota Celica convertible. That late 80s looked fun as hell to drive, was sporty, and that Toyota is the Toyota I long for. That pre-1990, everything, you know, all Corolla, all the time Toyota. And, you know, it's nothing against the Corolla. They're beautiful cars. They're reliable cars. They're bland. And so much of Toyota's car line for my adult life has been bland. The opening ceremonies of this Olympics, in my mind, was a Corolla of Olympics. It was, you know, I made it through. I managed to last through Montenegro, and I'm like, I just got to go to bed. I'm bored out of my.
Do you think it was? You know, that's a, it was. It was like, okay, I can't even wait.
Supposedly it got better, but I couldn't get there. The first hour and a half was like opening up an invitation to a party that read, "Oh my God, Mickey, we're having a party. You don't want to come, do you?"
We're just having chips and dip.
It's not going to be much fun.
And just, you know, so I look, old beer.
I look at this ad for the Concept I, and they had another ad for the Mirai, which in Japanese means future. And they're fun. They're energetic. They're interesting. The Mirai at the end of the day is like a resculpted Corolla. It's just another four-door sedan. I guess where I'm going with this is the kid in the mirror, the people being shown in the Concept I, there is a small counterculture of fun people in Toyota that is completely and totally repressed. And their only way to get messages out to us is they're signaling the rest of the world through these advertisements. We are here. Please come rescue us.
please buy this car so we may thrive. Yes.
Because otherwise we're just going to be making, you know, the Toyota accessible people movers and the e-palette automated things. And, you know, we will conquer the world one boring ass car at a time. And we will install an AI personality into it. So Dawn will believe that she is in love with Binky the Corolla K.
Did you say Binky? That's my sister's nickname.
Okay. Oh, that's too funny.
And you know, you're right. I actually was in love with the Celica too. It was out of my price point, which is why I got the Ford Probe. And I think you're right. That's why I've never otherwise bought a Toyota, because they are pretty milquetoast.
They are well-made cars. They'll last forever.
But I mean, they are very well-made and they're reliable and they are, so you make that decision, you make that hard choice. Do I get a beautiful Jaguar that you need two of because one will always be in the shop, or do you get a Toyota?
Well, and this is why, I mean, you know, completely semi-related tangent here, but this is why that people decorate their cars. They trick them out. And, you know, if you can't afford the stylish car that you want, you take the milquetoast car and you simply make it your own. And I think that's at the root of what basic cosmetic customizations are all about.
There's nothing incongruous about flames on a Corolla.
Hey, you know, I'm not going to judge anybody for their style. I mean, I take that back. I may judge them briefly, but it is theirs. They got to do what they have to do.
I have no problems with judging people. I'm gay. It's the way of my people.
but I will say this. Tokyo is a beautiful city. It is not boring. It is not.
I adore Tokyo.
It is not bland.
Yeah.
As we've said, in part, I adore Tokyo because I am enormous there. I am. It's like, I got so excited the first time I was there. I walked down the Ginza and knocked over a department store.
You know, I've never been to Tokyo.
It is one of the things that I love about Tokyo. First off, it's immaculate. It's like the entire city. You know, they go over it with a good coat of pledge every single night.
I mean, it's better than Germany. That's hard.
Wow, that's saying
that's
something.
Very hard to do.
That is saying something.
And the people are so wonderfully kind and courteous and mannered and engaging. And then all of a sudden you watch them on like the beach volleyball court or the water polo court. And I'm like, I think he just poked that American in the eye.
They are very
they are incredibly competitive.
That's a kind.
And I love and respect them for that. You know, that being the youngest of like 35 children, I learned how to be, you know, mannerly and yet Machiavellianly competitive.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's plenty to talk about in terms of Japanese car culture as well. And we've done that on the thing about cars in past episodes, the whole Dajiban phenomenon. And, you know, I think arguably drifting might actually claim a birthplace in Japan. I'm not entirely sure that's true, but there's cool stuff happening over there. I hope we get to visit sometime.
Yeah. I actually just finally saw, Tokyo Drift Fast and Furious. And
oh yeah.
It was fascinating. It was really fascinating, except for that white dude.
What are you saying, Don?
Drive worth crap. Well, maybe by the end of the movie, but he still hurt a lot of cars. Yeah. And you know what?
This just really, from our attorney, Screech, Screech, Break and Bang. The thing about cars is not anti-white man.
We're anti-bad driving and we're anti-car destruction.
Anti-people that hurt cars.
Anti-car destruction. That's right.
Yeah. But one thing I do love about sports is the creativity around the ads that happen. You know, the Super Bowl, we get some really good creativity out there. And I hope that some of these car concepts, do make it out of toys.
Yeah. I wish they would produce the concept like the that we saw. What was it called? The iToyota or the I
think it's
that cool looking jelly bean looking thing. I wish they'd produce that. You know, it looks great. It's an eye catching thing. If they can make it work, the body style alone should save people gas. Right. So,
we've talked about this before. The concept eye is kind of a boutique product. It's a niche product. That Celica convertible is a niche product. On Misty's behalf, the MX-5 is a niche product. At some point, you know, somebody has to make niche products. But there are a hell of a lot more people who want to buy Corollas than there are who want to buy, you know, an MX-5. God bless Mazda for making it. I think that that it is a function of a company's marketing strategy. Say, okay, now we're in the business of selling to people who have no interest in cars. And so, I'm sorry, go ahead, Don.
Well, and you know, the other thing that's really fascinating that I love about this is we get to see what's happening in other cultures or countries. A lot of those cars don't make it our way. I mean, they're not in America. They're in the Middle East. They're in Australia. They're just not coming here.
It kills me to see a cool car that we can't get in this country. And it kills me when a manufacturer comes out with a really compelling design for concept purposes that never make it to manufacturing. It's just, why? I mean, you know, show us this exciting thing just so you can justify selling us the mundane thing. That doesn't make much sense to me at all.
Here's the concept die. Yeah. We're not going to sell it in the United States. Buy the damn Prius.
So Toyota, we're available for some marketing expertise if you need it.
bring her our way. I mean, I'm looking at this thing and I'm going, dog, this would be amazing.
Right.
I'd love to drive this. And I would. I think I'd call it Jelly Bean.
Oh, my God.
You know, we're doing this and there's probably some, I think, Saatchi & Saatchi is like Toyota's advertising agency. There's some junior account manager at Saatchi & Saatchi that's listening to this going, you know, maybe we could just put out buy the damn Prius.
You know, let's lay money on that. How long before we see that campaign, ad? Right?
Buy the damn Prius.
Buy the damn Prius. All right. On that note, let's wrap the show. What else have we got before? Any parting words for our family of listeners today? Since we're not doing trivia this episode.
Well, I was trying to make up something, but it's
you know what?
Working.
We've had random trivia again. So like, okay, let's do this backwards forwards. Yes. Sister Batril was played by who? Answer A, Sally Field. Answer B, the damn Prius. Answer C, you know, Jelly Bean, the concept iCar. Or answer D, Binky Meningus.
What car would Jesus drive? No, so I do actually have a legitimate item of trivia if you guys want. But shall I read it real quick?
Go for it.
All right. This has nothing to do with the Olympics, unfortunately, but it does have something to do with international manufacturing of cars. The Ford EcoSport is the first vehicle imported into the U.S. from which country? Is that Albania, China, India, or Brazil? Again,
we did this one last week. Yes, the answer is Sally Field.
The answer is Sally Field, exactly.
I was like, oh, I know the answer to this one. Wait a minute. We did this one last week. Oh, well. So what? Let's go back to the concept die. I love Jelly Bean. He's so cute. I can't stop looking at this car.
There are elements of it that are really slick. I think they should put it in production.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's a him, and you're going to name him Jelly Bean? Do you know how the other cars are going to treat him in the locker room?
Hey, you know, sometimes you just have to be a jelly bean.
Thank you, as always, for joining us for the Thing About Cars. We really appreciate you being part of our family. And if you have suggestions for guests or topics or trivia questions, please send them to us via the Thing About Cars website. That's thethingaboutcars.com or our Facebook page, which is, I believe, simply facebook.com/thethingaboutcars. In any case, we're searchable there on Facebook. And we'll be with you again with another episode in about a week. Hopefully, Ben and Misty will be back fully recovered from their respective issues and with brand new superpowers intact. And we'll have fresh trivia from our trivia czar, Tim Rogers. In the meantime, stay safe and healthy out there, you guys. Be careful. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.